It's a very practical housekeeping note. I know the lights aren't on. We've been struggling all weekend to try to get it on, but it's not a question of finding the right arrangement of switches. Something else is going on there. So we are waiting for the Holy Spirit to enlighten us on that. So it is the Feast of Pentecost, the Solemnity of Pentecost. 7 weeks ago, we gathered in this church to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, to celebrate Easter. Since that time, 50 days have come and 50 days have gone, and now we are at Feast of Pentecost. And we hear readings today that are confusing, aren't they? Because they tell us two different stories of how this worked. John's Gospel tells a story of what happened on the evening of that first day of the week. John's Gospel is about Easter Sunday evening and all the things that happened that evening. Jesus appears to his disciples, wishes them peace, shows himself to be corporeally real, and sends them out. Says, go to the ends of the earth. And then calls down the Spirit. We've got it all there in one evening, right? Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. Hardly 50 days long. The church and the liturgical year go with Luke's version of things that we heard in that first reading. 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascends to heaven, and then later, the Spirit descends on the disciples. There's an important detail that's really different in these two stories that I think is absolutely crucial. The disciples in John's Gospel are gathered in that upper room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. I don't know about you, but for me, that's not a very inspiring foundation story for a religion. A group of men hidden behind locked doors for fear of a group of people that they are part of. I think Luke's story is much more approachable, and it's an important lesson for us. You probably heard that they were gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost. You think, great, they had already named it, huh? Absolutely wrong. Pentecost is the name of the Jewish feast for which they were gathered in Jerusalem. In Hebrew, Shavuot, which means the festival of the weeks. The translation of that into Greek was Pentecost. Pentecost is a Jewish festival. Our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrated this festival last Tuesday evening through last Thursday evening. That's why people were gathered in Jerusalem. That's why it was called Pentecost. We stole that from the Jews. Pentecost, okay? Now, what was this feast about? There were at least two things it was about. Initially, it was a spring harvest festival. In the Mediterranean world, this is the time for the first harvest. So the first fruits were brought to the temple in Jerusalem. As time went by, though, the meaning shifted a bit. Because of a reading of the book of Exodus in which it says it took approximately 50 days for the people of Israel to get from Egypt to Mount Sinai. 50 days. This happens 50 days after Passover, hence the Festival of Weeks. 7 weeks plus one day. Pentecost, 50. Sinai, the giving of the law, the giving of the Torah. If you remember the images of that, there are images of fire and of wind and of lightning. Not all that different, really, from what we hear today about what happened at the Feast of Shavuot in Jerusalem when the disciples were gathered and the Spirit descended with tongues of fire and wind. There is an important and profound connection between what we celebrate today and where we came from and that religion in which Jesus was raised and grew up and lived. Pentecost is about connections. Keep that in mind. We need to think back a bit about the Easter season and what's gone on during the Easter season. You know, the Easter season actually began not on Easter Sunday, but at the Holy Saturday at the Easter Vigil. All right? And at the heart of the Easter Vigil, it's the welcoming of new members into the community. This year, there were 11 adults and children who were welcomed into the Catholic Church. At the Easter Vigil, they were baptized, they were confirmed, and they received Eucharist. That's the way it was in the early church when people entered the church primarily as adults. All those sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist happened exactly at the same time. He became Christian and initiated with all those things. Throughout this Easter season here at Holy Trinity, we have seen these sacraments taking place. Every week, as Mass begins, the sprinkling rite reminds us all of our baptism. Baptisms have returned to the liturgy. Baptisms have returned to the chapel and the communal celebrations on Saturdays and Sundays. Baptism, confirmation. Last night, the first of two confirmation masses took place here at Trinity. The next is next Saturday at 5:30. And First Eucharist. Throughout the Easter season, children have been receiving their First Eucharist. It has been a season of initiation, a season of new beginnings, a season of new life. The Easter season that we're now coming to the conclusion of. There is something kind of interesting that happened this week in another liturgical celebration. Actually, it happened today. And now I'm going to commit the ultimate heresy at 5:30 Mass. I am going to talk about another liturgy that took place at Holy Trinity today. At the 11:30 Mass today, Jim Simos was received into full communion in the Catholic Church. It's an interesting and complicated story and perfect for Pentecost. Jim Simos was born into the Greek Orthodox tradition. Jim, at the time of his baptism, like the people on Easter Sunday, as a child, was confirmed and given First Eucharist. In the Greek Orthodox Church, all those things happen at once. And then in the Greek Orthodox Church, you as an initiated individual grow into those sacraments. Sometimes I think we've got a really wrong conception that we earn the sacraments as we go along. In the Orthodox Church, you grow into the sacraments that are given to you at the time of your initiation. Okay, but why this distinction between the Orthodox Church and us? In 1054, the great schism between the Eastern Church, basically the Eastern part of the Mediterranean, and the Western Church, between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. All right? That's the first great division of Christianity. So Jim was born into the Greek Orthodox tradition. Jim has decided that he wanted to become a member of the Catholic Church, of that Western tradition. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Not simple at all. We're talking about Catholic things here. So, Jim is already baptized, confirmed, and received First Eucharist. So at the 11:30 Mass, Jim made a statement of faith in the Catholic Church, and by that statement was welcomed into the Catholic Church. Interesting footnote here. Members of the Orthodox Church are invited to receive communion in the Western and the Catholic Church, but not vice versa. So Jim made that statement and was received into the Catholic Church. Now you all should be asking, which Catholic Church was he received into? That was right on your mind, right? Did you know that there are 24 Western churches? It is not just the Roman Catholic Church, Latin Rite. Churches are grouped by their particular rite, and under this rite there are various churches. There's at least seven rites, which are determined largely by their liturgical practice. Here are the names of some of them, to give you a sense of them. The Alexandrian Rite, the Armenian Rite, the Byzantine Rite, the East Syrian Rite, and the West Syrian Rite. In the Catholic Church, there are all these semi-independent churches. Some of them are very ancient, and some of them actually grew up from the time of the Great Schism because there were churches in those areas that went Orthodox that wanted to retain a tie to Rome. So they became churches affiliated with Rome. They are the Eastern Catholic churches. All right? The Eastern Catholic churches are fully Catholic churches, as Catholic as we are, and receive communion with us. Everybody got that? So Jim today was received into the Greek Byzantine Rite, the Greek Byzantine Church that is part of the Catholic Church. He went from the Greek Orthodox Church to the Greek Byzantine Church, part of the Roman Catholic Church. So why go through all of this about what happened with Jim today? Because I think on Pentecost, it's very helpful, just as we understand how we are connected to Judaism through this feast, it also is important to understand both the connectedness and the division of Christianity. And Jim's being welcomed into the Catholic Church, the Latin Rite of the Catholic Church, is a reminder of both those pieces, isn't it? It's a reminder of the divisions that exist, and it's also a reminder of our common heritage. In that second reading, it's a pretty remarkable reading in that passage that goes, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God. Different, but the same. Different, but the same. Different, but the same. That is what Pentecost is about. How things are different, but the same, and how that works at the same time. How there is Orthodox and Catholic. How there are different rites. How there is Holy Trinity and the rest of the world. How there is the 5:30 Mass and all those other Masses at Holy Trinity. About a week ago, Pope Francis visited Genoa. And there he gave a talk to the priests and the men and women religious of Genoa. And he talked about the church. He used an image of the church that he took from the late Cardinal Canestri of Genoa. And it goes like this. The church is like a river, and what is important is being in the river. If you are in the center, or more to the right, or more to the left, but in the river, that's legitimate variety. So many times we want the river to narrow only to our side, and we condemn the others, but that's not fraternity. That's not fraternity. The river that is the church, and more broadly, the river that is the Spirit, the river that is the grace of God that pours into the world continuously. So maybe on this Feast of Pentecost, what we really need to do is, rather than standing in our part of the river and telling people how wonderful it is to just be quiet, to sense the river flowing through us, and to sense that grace of God which flows through all who stand in that river of grace.